Hey, folks. This is Jesse Cope, back with another episode of the American Soul Podcast. Hope y'all are doing well, wherever y'all are, and whatever part of the day you're in. I sure do appreciate you joining me, giving me a little bit of your time. Hope your day is going well, whatever part of it you're in. And I hope this makes it a little better, maybe. At least gives you something to look forward to. Maybe gets you through dishes or laundry or driving up and down the road. Or winding down in the evening. Whatever it is, I'm glad you're here. I enjoy this little community, if you will allow me. Not a lot on the homestead. The girls and I were looking through the book at, we've got to order some replacement hens. So we were going through and picking out some of the different breeds. They always seem to enjoy that. I enjoy it. I haven't said this in a while, very quickly, but if you have any space, folks, at all, a little garden, a few chickens. It doesn't really matter even how small, folks, but anything you can do to kind of get you tied back to the land a little bit and producing some of your own food is a big deal. I think, well, I know, we've become disconnected in so many ways. And I think one of them is we've become really disconnected from this world that God made. And so, at any rate, I'll leave that there. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for you, your Son, Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your word. Thank you for living in a country, for those of us that do, where we can read your word freely without fear of persecution, torture, imprisonment, death. Thank you for the time to record this podcast, the people that listen to it. Be with them and their families. Guide us, Lord. Bless us. Protect us from evil. Help us to do your will. Help us to follow the commands that you have laid out. The commands of your Son, to seek you and your kingdom and your righteousness first, to love you with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, to love our neighbors as ourselves. Watch over those who are hurting, who are alone, scared. Help those of us who have the ability to help them. And not to use ignorance as an excuse. Forgive us our sins, Lord. Have mercy on us. Draw us close to you. Keep us safe. Keep our souls safe. Right up through the day you bring us home. And guide my words here, Father, please. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. A couple little quotes today. I think maybe next podcast or two or so, we're going to get back into this Churchill biography. I think it's one of those books that needs to be read over and over again, especially today in light of the current political climate really across the world, but especially in America. And it reminds me often of Truman reading Lee's Lieutenants, I think it was, repetitively as a senator. Need to go back and double check that. McCullough has a great biography, David McCullough, on President Truman. It's a tome though, folks. I'm telling you what, but it's a McCullough does such a great job writing a story as a historian that it doesn't feel like reading a tomb often, as long as you don't look at how far you have left to go. Nathan Hale, I think many of y'all are probably familiar with him. We had to learn about him in the Marine Corps. In fact, we had posters up in one of the battalion headquarters that I served in. And one of them was a quote that I'm going to read in just a second. But this first quote, it's out of the Patriot. I'm reading the quote out of the Patriot's Bible. The reason that I say that that's important is because it's part of the preface in this Bible to the book of James. And if you know anything about James, he talks about works. He talks about the fact that salvation can only come through faith, right? But that faith without works is dead. And it's what we talk about here on the podcast often, in your marriage, for example. Any relationship, though, you start with God. We talk about having faith in God, but if we don't spend any time in the Bible, if we don't spend any time in prayer, if we don't at least attempt the best that we can to follow his commands, then do we really have faith? Mean, if you're not going to cheat on your spouse, if you don't want to commit adultery, you ought to act like that, right? If you have faith. And I'm not expecting perfection on any of these folks, please don't insinuate that. I'm just making some examples. Honor your father and your mother. Well, I would cope, but they're not very good people. It's interesting, but God doesn't mention the quality of the parents when he gives us that command. Just like he doesn't give us the way out as far as the quality of our spouse. And whether we're supposed to fulfill our obligations, which are different for men and women, to our spouse. He just tells us to do it. Might be a little bit of a incentive for those of y'all that are thinking about getting married to really make sure you're marrying a good spouse, because after you do, it's kind of too late then. You can talk about your children, right? Don't embitter your children, I believe, is the verbiage in one New Testament verse. Our children can drive us nuts from time to time. Those of y'all that are children listening to this podcast, if you're junior high or high school, maybe even college, you can kind of read the verse both ways, right? It's it's a pretty good idea for children not to try and drive their parents nuts, but the parents have a responsibility to not embitter their children too. And kids, we talk about that on the podcast every so often. You say that you really care about kids, but you don't listen to them. You don't pay any attention to them. They know that you're not telling the truth. And so this book of James talks about works. And this quote ties in from Nathan Hale. Let us march immediately and never lay down our arms until we obtain our independence. That was his response on hearing of the British siege of Boston in 1775. We have a lot of people that talk a lot today, and I've been guilty of this in my life too, folks. We like to talk a lot. I obviously like to hear the sound of my voice too much. Some of y'all that listen to the podcast know that's true when I get rambling off some rabbit trail, but at some point, folks, we're going to be called upon to either decide to do something or to shut up, to put it bluntly. Or if we keep talking, people are going to know that we're just kind of full of hot air, right? Actions mean a lot. Hale went on to be a spy for America, but he was captured by the British. This is the famous part. This is the quote that was on the wall in our battalion headquarters. And before he was hung, it's reported that he said, I only regret that I have but one life to give for my country. I wonder how many of us would make that same regret. At any rate, it's a good quote. I had a couple things, and I don't know if I can remember them off the top of my head right now to talk about. One was the marriage part. Another was a comment that my father made to me recently, talking about the importance of being quiet. And I think he underestimates his ability at that, but nonetheless, there's a proverb that talks about the fact that even a fool is thought wise when he holds his tongue. And I can tell you firsthand that my mouth has gotten me in trouble often in my life. And when you think about it, folks, especially the times when we get in trouble, but sometimes even when we don't, are we really adding anything? Are we making the situation better? Or are we just talking to hear ourselves talk? Are we just giving our opinion, often unsolicited, to other people because we're so impressed with our own opinion? And a lot of times, excuse me, you go back to the book of Job. His friends at first just sat there and listened to him, or just sat there with him, didn't talk at all. Long time. I don't remember how long anymore. How many of us offer that to our friends, to our spouses, just our presence? The other topic I'm going to touch on real quick, and it'll make sense after we read the quotes for today, the majority of the quotes. And that is, how often do we like to blame others when things go wrong, but we don't want to give them credit when things go right? God's the perfect example. So often we want to blame God for all the things that go wrong. Especially often, interestingly enough, people that claim not to believe in him, they want to attack God for all these things that they see as injustices, these things that go wrong, completely ignoring the fact that he's God and they're not. But also, then they don't give him credit for all the wonderful things. If we don't really want rain, we complain about rain, but then on the sunny days, do we actually stop to thank God for the sunny day? We want to get away from the oppressive heat in the summer, in this part of the world at least. But then when it's cold in the winter, do we thank God, or do we just shift over to complaining about that? Same is true for your spouse. You complain about all the things your spouse doesn't do, right? And there's some caveats. There's quite a few caveats here, folks. I'm just talking in general. But do we tell them thank you for the things that they do? We complain about the problems, but are we grateful for the blessings? Maybe we just have our eye off the ball. Maybe we're looking for the wrong things. So the person we're going to talk about for the last part is Henry Ward Beecher. You know anything about Beecher? He was a abolitionist, meaning he fought against slavery, right? He was a clergyman. And the son of a New England theologian, Lyman Beecher, who we, I don't think we've talked about his father here before. We might have. And then, but he was the brother of Harriet Beecher Stowe, who we talked about recently, a few podcasts back, who wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin, whose last quote in that book is so poignant for today. Talking about this window, this door that we still have open, this chance that we have, but it's closing. So we're going to read through a few of his quotes today. Sink the Bible to the bottom of the ocean, and still man's obligations to God would be unchanged. He would have the same path to tread, only his lamp and his guide would be gone. The same voyage to make, but his chart and compass would be overboard. This is a great point because I just got hammered online a week or so ago by somebody talking about how cruel God was. You know, what about all these people around the world that haven't heard of God and Jesus Christ? Are they just up a creek? And again, I've told you all this before. I'm not the best on the spot. I need a little time to go back and sit and think. But if I would have had time, there's a number of verses throughout the Bible that talk about people being judged based on their knowledge. You know, if they don't have knowledge of Christ, if they've truly never, ever heard of Christ, then God's going to look at their actions. At least that's the way I read a couple verses in the New Testament, which is one example. The other is you have to wonder how many people around the world really haven't. There's some for sure, but how many people truly haven't heard of Jesus Christ? And this quote is great though, because he says, look, he said, you know, even if you got rid of the Bible, we'd still have the same path that we had to follow. And the Bible talks about that the rocks and the trees, the mountains, that nature itself proclaims God. We just wouldn't have the light, the path to follow as clearly, which is one reason that you can start to see, and we're going to do a podcast on this next week or two, probably, about the number of our founders that were involved in Bible societies. And you see this importance in making sure that people have access to it, because it's like trying to walk across the garden or down a forest path at night versus in the day. If you've ever walked around with NVGs, with night vision goggles, you know what a difference that makes. On a dark night, maybe especially, but either way, the difference between having those goggles on and not makes things much more difficult when you don't have them. It makes life much more difficult when we don't have the Bible. And again, you know, that's a real good example of why there's so many people that want to take the Bible out of our education system, to take that light away from our children. If a man cannot be a Christian in the place where he is, he cannot be a Christian anywhere. That one hurts a little bit, right? If we can't act the way we're supposed to right now where we are, then it won't matter if we change our situation. We're still not going to act right. And you kind of think about that like with money, right? And it's true. You see it. You hear all the stats, right? The people, most of the people that win the lottery go broke again if they were broke before. We end up in the same situation because it's us. It's not the situation, it's us. You know, you find that a lot with marriage and divorce. You go and you get divorced and you remarry and you expect everything to be great, and then it's not. Because the problem wasn't your first spouse. The problem was you. You know, us, ourselves, were the problem. A Christian is nothing but a sinful man who has put himself to school to Christ for the honest purpose of becoming better. This is so huge because it ties into the argument about the First Amendment and religious freedom. The First Amendment was never written, as we've talked about, to lower Christianity to the level of false religions. It was written to keep the different denominations from fighting each other and being favored by the state. So you don't have to be Christian in order to be American, but you have to follow those principles of Christ in order for our republic to function correctly. And this ties in the fact that there's the divide today in the nation, which has not been here in the past, is the divide between people who acknowledge that they're sinful, that they need Jesus Christ, that they need to do better, right? That they've got problems and they need to work on them, versus the people that don't, that they know they've got problems, but they don't think they need Christ, right? And that's kind of maybe different parts of the same camp. But then there's a whole other camp that doesn't even think their sin is sin. They think they're just rocking and rolling along, doing just fine. And we haven't had this divide in the nation in the past. Well, if we have, it's been a long time. Christianity works while infidelity talks. She feeds the hungry, clothes the naked, visits and cheers the sick, and seeks the lost. While infidelity abuses her and babbles nonsense and profanity. By their fruits ye shall know them. I really wish I had more time left in the podcast, folks. Maybe we'll come back to that on the next one. There's a lot in that quote right there. But it ties into what I said earlier about so often we want to blame people because of some superficial trait, or we just want to blame them for the bad stuff, but we don't ever give them credit for the good stuff. And as I said, maybe we'll come back and talk about a few more of his quotes on the next podcast. God bless y'all. God bless your families. God bless your marriages. God bless America. We'll talk to y'all again real soon, folks. Looking forward to it.